Blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. My spirit thirsts thy grace to taste. An exile in this desert waste, in which no waters be, in which no waters be. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 164. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 77. To the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Stephen Niels, who was spared through an accident in this past week, and also Chad Outshorn, who must receive treatment again in the week to come. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal, Most High God, who dwelleth above, where there is no sin, where there is no transgression, iniquity, where about thy throne is holiness, and where there is a rejoicing to the honor and to the glory of thy name moment by moment. Lord, we are upon the face of this sin-cursed world, and there is here below a service that is to the prince of the world, the prince of darkness. And we in our hearts, with all our form of religion, that we have also that same nature, that fallen nature, and that goes out with all our being to the prince of this world, for the service of the world. It is the love of the world that lives in our hearts. Lord, what a great contrast between thy dwelling place above and our dwelling place here below. And yet there is a people that may say with thy servant, my one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days. And Jehovah's beauty to admire, and in his temple to inquire. Lord, where does it come from? Oh, that is a new desire. That is not a desire out of hell. That is not a desire out of our natural heart. Oh, it is a desire planted by thee. That wonder-working God, by thy Holy Spirit, to give desires that are against our flesh, to give desires that war against the flesh. O Lord, when there are such in our midst, in this morning hour in thy house, in whom thou hast planted that desire, O, could it please thee also to fulfill it? O Jehovah's beauty, to admire, that is the desire of that newborn soul. And Lord, what can we give? We are thy servant, and we have not run, Lord, on our own account. Thou knowest it. Thou hast sent us to this labor, and we can give this people nothing. Oh, we have nothing. And we are nothing in ourselves. But Lord, thou hast promised us. I have put my words in thy mouth. Oh, how shall that people behold thy beauty? It is, Lord, only when thou wilt come in our midst in this morning hour. And when thou wilt bless thy word. And when thou wilt open that beauty unto those hearts that may seek thee, and when thou wilt own thy own work, and when thou wilt give a token for good. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Oh, we beseech thee in this morning, on thy own day, on thy own holy day, a day where thy institutions are yet in the midst of us, in thy long-suffering grace, that thou dost still give it in our country, that thou dost still give it in our midst. Oh, we beseech thee to feed the desires that thou hast planted in the souls, and to give yet more such desires. When, Lord, it does not lay in us, oh, what makes us to differ? By nature, then, we are all the same. Oh, we stand in need of the resurrection from the dead. That is thy work, Lord. Oh, thou didst stop the bier upon which the dead did lay, and thou didst speak, my son, I say unto thee, arise. And then there was life. Oh, then he sat up, Lord. Oh, grant in our midst too, to us and to our dear children, life from the dead. We can give it to ourselves, and we have sinned away all right and all reason, that thou shouldst look upon us and upon our children. Lord, we continue what our Father has done in paradise, to turn his back to thee. And we have done it again in the week that is gone by. And we have said to thee moment by moment that we have no desire for thee and for the knowledge of thy ways. Oh, if thou wilt come, then it may only be in a way of mercy. Oh, look then upon thy dear Son, whom thou hast promised a seed that should serve him. Oh, he has finished everything, Lord, and that he has promised to do in that a covenant in eternity, and that he would leave the place of glory, and that he would place himself under the law, and that he would fulfill it in an active way, and that he would submit to that great punishment that is for the sin of his church. Oh, hast thou not promised him a seed that should serve him? Lord, may it be also from among us and from our children, that that seed may be born, and that thou would fulfill that promise to thine only begotten Son, and that that desire may go forth after that blessed Son of God. Remember then thy dear church. Increase the number of thy subjects here below, that in the multitude of subjects may be thy honor. But increase also the knowledge of thy children, for it is with little knowledge and it is with little faith that they do go through this Meshach. Lord, wilt thou instruct further in thy ways, and wilt thou cause them to come to those places where thou alone can bring them in the acknowledgement of thy justice and in the signing of their own death sentence, and that thou may speak, that it may also be heard in the court of the conscience from that judge. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Lord, wilt thou look upon us for good? Look on all that need thee in special ways in this life. There was a young father in the week that has gone by who has received a calling from thee. Lord, it was in the way of thy providence that thou hast spared his life. And thou hast spared him from bodily hurt. And yet that calling, Lord, all that comes to him in a special way, to his wife and to his children. Oh, how different that it could have been. Oh, Lord, bind it upon his heart and upon all of our hearts together. One moment, and we can be in eternity, and we have no impression thereof. Oh, instruct us in mercy. Humble him under thy good-doing hand, and may thy goodness lead to a true repentance for him and for all of us together, to see the mercies that we so take for granted. Remember the young child who must receive treatment in this week to come. Lord, thou makest it thus far well. Strengthen him. Help the physicians. Wilt thou strengthen the parents? And wilt thou cause all these ways to lead us to gather to thy footstool? Remember widows, widowers, and orphans. Also her. From our sister congregation, who may have lost her father, and who was buried in the week that has gone by. Lord, wilt thou supply, and wilt thou remember the widow, and all those who mourn the losses of loved ones, widows, widowers, and orphans. Wilt thou look upon all that go over this life alone, the unmarried, those who have disappointments, those who may have no children, those who have burdens with their children, that have no place to bring them to men. Lord, give a place by Thee, and oh, give to understand, and not only in the mind, but to experience in the heart and life, that Thou art God, and that Thou art the ruler over all the land. Go Thou with us in this morning hour. Help us, Lord. Make it an easy task. Feed Thy people. And wilt Thou convert sinners to Thee. Forgive and keep us from all sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 212, all stanzas. I thought upon the days of old, the years departed long. I held communion with my heart, by night recalled my song. We announce that the extra collection at the last song today is for our school. Psalter 212, stanzas 1 through 6. Thank you. Congregation, the prophecy of Habakkuk concerns a church which is in captivity. 70 long years. For many, that meant so little. Because we read at that time that there was a return, that there were many that had no desire to return to Jerusalem again. They had found a home. They had found a place in that land of Babylon with which they were content. But then there were others for whom that was so different. There were others that mourned over that departure from that holy city, and they could not be content as long as they were in that enemy's land. They missed the house of God. They missed the place of the Lord. And their heart went out with desire that awful condition that they had brought themselves in could change. That they could go up once again, as it was in the days gone by, with joy, with the multitude, to that house of God. But it was impossible. Boys and girls, do you know why that was impossible? Because there was an enemy. And they were in that enemy's land, and they could not go up to God's house anymore because that enemy that was too strong for them. They were a people that were in captivity. They had to confess that it was their own fault. Why their own fault? Because they had left the Lord. Because they had gone the way of the world. Because they had wanted to be like all the other nations, to serve the gods of wood and of stone. Therefore, they had brought upon themselves this condition that they were in. To these, the Lord sent his prophets. To these, the Lord sent his servants to do what? Is that not a wonder? To comfort them. To comfort them. When it was their own fault, all that they had brought upon themselves. And then the Lord sent his servants, the prophets, to say what to that people? When they were laying in that land of captivity, comfort ye my people, saith your God. What did they have to tell them? They had to tell them that there also will come an end to this condition. That this captivity that you have brought yourself in, that is not a captivity that is going to last forever. But there will come a deliverance. And when they are speaking and prophesying about that deliverance, then it is not only about a deliverance in a literal way from that land of Babylon, but it is also pointing further in a way of multiple prophecies concerning the future. Thus, that deliverance that is also speaking about a further deliverance that is concerning that Messiah which was for to come. When that Messiah came, who was that, boys and girls? Who was that Messiah? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did the Lord Jesus say? He said, "My kingdom is not of this world." What does that mean? That is my kingdom that will not be just with the Jews as a nation. No. But my kingdom that is a spiritual kingdom. Thus, what we may have concerning the history of God's church here below, that is for us often a picture, that is a picture of that spiritual condition in which God's church that is so often bringing themselves in this world. That is by their sin. That is by their worldliness. That is by their forsaking the Lord days without number. That is with a heart that is so, so carnal that they are often bringing themselves into that same spiritual condition as those children of Israel when they are laying in that land of Babylon. Then it seems as if everything is dead. Then it seems as if everything is so cold and so hard. Those former times that they used to know, they are all gone. Prayer that is often a burden. And they may sing with us in God's house, yes, in their home, but, well, then that heart that cannot sing, that zeal which they knew in former days, that is as a candle that has completely burned out, then that desire has failed, and what is so awful, that people, they cannot make a change in their condition. That is, that they are laying, as it were, under that hand of the enemy. And that enemy that is pressing them down so sore, as if they are in a prison. And where, boys and girls, where is the key to the prison? That is not on the side of the prisoner. No, they cannot open their own prison door, can they? No. No, but that key that is always on the other side. Then there is always someone else that needs to open that prison. So that is also for God's true church. And now for that languishing church, the Lord has preserved His word, that He has spoken by His servants, the prophets, to the children of Israel when they are laying in that land of captivity, that His servants also may proclaim in their day, even to the end of the world, "Comfort ye, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That is congregation with the help of the Lord. What we wish to consider in short in this morning from the words of our text, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 3, only the first part. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. So far the words of our text. A captive people, encouraged in an unchangeable God. First, an undeniable beginning. And second, a sure continuation. A captive people, encouraged in an unchangeable God. First, an undeniable beginning. And second, a sure continuation. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. What is that? Selah. That is to pause. Why? That we are not just going on, but to stop a moment, to reflect, to consider, to meditate. That is not typical of our day, to stop. Because in our day, then everything that goes faster and faster and faster, and we are running. And how is it then in our own life? Do we ever stop a moment? And how is it when we are now reading in the Word of God? How do we read that Word of God? Are we reading that Word of God just like we are going through our life? Hurriedly through those scriptures. Or may we read that Word of God in a meditative way. May we sometimes stop a moment. It is not, congregation, how much that you read in that Word of God. No. But what profit may we receive from what we read out of that Word of God? How is that, children, when you bend your knees by your bed and you will try to pray in the evening, in the morning? Selah, that is, pause for a moment, that you may meditate and that you may think about whom that you are approaching. And what request do you have unto that Almighty God? Selah. Or if that is true of the whole world, if that is true of us in general, how much more so is that not concerning that true church of God? And what is it that Habakkuk, he would have that true church that is laying in captivity to stop a moment and to consider and to meditate? What is that? That is on that which has come immediately before that word, Selah. And now what does he say? He says, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Actually, it is a quotation. And he is quoting the words of Moses from Deuteronomy 33, the second verse. We read there, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran. He came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. We read in that original text three names, that is Sinai, Seir, and Paran. These are either mountains or They are the mountainous regions that are laying around these mountains. But in our text, then we don't read exactly the same, but we read two names, that is Teman and Paran. But these two names, they are referring to those same mountains or those same mountainous regions. That is, that place in Sinai. Thus, Habakkuk, he is bringing the people, when he sees them in the future, that they will be lying in that place of captivity under the hand, under the dominion of that enemy. And he is bringing that people back in their life to consider what that is the work of God. May you ever do that, people of the Lord. To Selah, to pause, to stop a moment in this world, in all the affliction, in all the perplexities, to go back a moment and to consider that work of God. Where does He bring them? He brings them back to the beginning of that new life. He brings them back to that place where He has established them that they should be His own people. Selah, that is, to meditate, to consider your beginning. And then what does the Lord say that He did in that beginning? Well, the Lord says, look where I have brought you from, my people. You were laying in that land of Egypt. And there was a time that you had no desire to leave that land of Egypt. You had an ancestry. You had a father, a grandfather in your heritage. Then there were those that may fear the name of the Lord, that may receive a promise from the Lord. And you had no desire to leave that land of Egypt. You were comfortable in that place. Even with all your history, even with all your religion. And oh, my people, what have I done for you there? And then I have made Egypt to be a burden to you. I have given that the enemy that was not able to endure your presence in that land of Egypt, I have brought you there into bondage. I have made your cry come up unto God, that He would send forth a deliverance, that you may be brought out of that place. Selah. Blessed meditations. Meditations upon that work of God. Selah, the blessed reflection upon how that the Lord, He has brought you, my people, out of that land of bondage. And what did I do for you? The Lord says, I delivered you out of that place at your own cry, and I have brought you on that way unto Canaan. I have given to you a new life. I have brought you off of that broad way, and I have brought you onto that narrow way. I have delivered you from that bondage. I have made you a free people. I have brought you out of that awful darkness, and I have brought you into my marvelous light. I have brought you out from that rule of Pharaoh, brought you out from under his dominion, and I have brought you under the rule of a new king. And I gave to you a law. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. It was a fiery law. It was a law before which you felt, before which you experienced in that time, that you could not stand before me, who was a holy and a righteous God. Selah. Oh, consider, Church of God, what I have done for you in your life. That was not only a fiery law. What else was it? Oh, I have planted in your heart a love. A love for that law. Oh, in that beginning, where you felt not only that you could not stand before God, but then there was a love. What do we read? The children of Israel said, when the Lord came down upon that mount with his law, all that the Lord hath said, we will do. And what was now the desire of the heart of that people in the beginning of that way? Oh, that was not only that they could not stand before God, but also a desire, a love for him, for his law, and a desire to completely obey in that way of the Lord. Blessed time, Selah. Time that the people will never forget. Time of first love. Oh, all the old things, they had passed away, and they have come under the law of the Lord. That is, everything has become for them new. There was life. There was love. There was zeal. Oh, what a carefulness. What a carefulness of walk in that day. Life, a close life. A tender life. A sweet life. A life of true repentance. A life of communion. A blessed life with God. Selah. Blessed meditations of the work of God. Blessed reflections of the Church of God. And what has he done? Oh, he has brought them much further. Oh, then we can go on. Because the Lord has given them instruction. The knowledge of self. The knowledge of himself. Taught that people in the wilderness. Brought them even into that land of Canaan. By Joshua. Joshua, that is the Hebrew name, boys and girls. You know what the Greek name is of Joshua? That is Jesus. Oh, then he has brought them into that land by the hand of that Jesus. Oh, he has given them that land that was not theirs. He has established for them a kingdom. He has set up his worship. Selah. And now? Now it is so different. Now they lay under the hand of the enemy. Now they cannot attend anymore unto those ordinances of God. Now the temple that lay in ruins. Now that holy city that has been destroyed. Yes, it seems like everything has come to an end. Congregation, is there a people that understand this? You never thought that you would be brought into such a place. After all that that you thought that the Lord had done in your life. And now it seems, now honestly you must say it seems, that everything that has come to an end. For the longest time, you see nothing, you hear nothing, you feel nothing. It is so dark, and it seems like you are so, so far away, that you have to say, I fear. It was nothing, it is nothing, and it shall never be anything. Oh, what an awful, awful condition is that church able to bring herself into by her own sin, by her worldliness, by her idolatry, by her carnality, by the forsaking of the Lord, days without number. Or they can so easily leave that close life. They can so easily leave that time of first love, but they have no power to bring themselves back again. That is the reality. That is the experience of that church. That is the Lord's work. It is a key congregation that is on the other side of the door when that people lay in that prison. And in general, the Lord is not in a hurry. Because there is so much that needs to be taught to that people. There are so many lessons that the Lord needs to teach them, and they are so hard of learning. And yet, even in those times, the Lord is not a land of outer darkness for his people. That is our second thought, a sure continuation. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. However, there is actually a difference. We say there was a quotation from what Moses has spoken, but there is actually a difference in the way that it is spoken here by Habakkuk, because the tense is changed. That is, that it is not only that God came from Teman, but that it is put into the future tense. That is, that it says actually God comes from Teman, or God shall come from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. Thus, at the same time as the prophet, he is looking back. At the same time that prophet, he is also looking forward. And what does he say to that church that will soon be laying in captivity? Then he says, as that God came of old, so God will also come again. Habakkuk brings that people to the past to reflect on the work of the Lord in their life to the beginning, and that is for their encouragement. But how is that? How is that such an encouragement for that people? Well, on the one side, It is a work, a beginning, that the people cannot deny. to say whether that is of the Lord or of myself, that is one thing. But to say that it did not happen, that is something else. No, they know what has taken place because it is a powerful work. It is an efficacious work. It is an unforgettable work. No, they cannot deny it. But more, the Lord cannot deny it, and the Lord cannot forsake it. And why not? Because the Lord, he says that he is the same. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when the Lord descended on there on that Mount Sinai, then the Lord has declared that this is my people. Oh, he has taken that people for his own account. And he has taken that people under his own protection. He has separated them. He has made them distinct from all the nations which are in this world. That was the fulfillment of his own decree that is based on that work of that lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And the condition of that people that can change so much. But the state of the people that cannot change. There is nothing that that people can do to sin themselves outside of that covenant of the Lord. And thus Habakkuk, when that people are laying in that captivity, so despondent, and when all those hopes, they are coming to nothing. The harps are upon the willows. Then Habakkuk, he is encouraging that people in the unchangeable nature of the God of that covenant. And we read of that immutability of God's word, of God's nature, to the comfort of his church in so many places in that word of God. Balak's congregation was so angry at Balaam because he refused to curse that people of the Lord. And what did Balaam return answer to him? Oh, Balaam also wanted to curse that people because he would love to be a rich man. But what did Balaam say to him? He says, Balak, he says, I have received commandment to bless. And he has blessed. And what does Balaam say? He says, I cannot reverse it. Impossible. I cannot reverse it. Oh, do you see, young people, the blessedness of the true church of God? The Lord has spoken concerning that church. All hell can raise itself up against the church of God. But it is impossible that it shall prevail. Because it is impossible that it shall be reversed. All the power of the world, all the might of the world, all the riches of the world, they can combine together against the Lord and against his anointed. against his own church. But the Lord is their protector. And that is, not only is it impossible that the world will turn it around, but it is impossible that God himself will turn this around. Why? Because he would cease to be God. Because of the immutability, because of the unchangeableness of that very nature of God. He has confirmed it with an oath that by two immutable, unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that church may have a strong consolation, that is, a strong comfort. What does James say? Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, nor a shadow of turning. Or what does Paul say? Paul says the gift and the calling of God that is without repentance. Or what does the Lord himself say unto his church? He says, I am the Lord. I am Jehovah. I am that covenant God. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed, O people of the Lord. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Was he not the beginning? Shall he not also be the ending? Was he not the Alpha? Shall he not also be the Omega? Was he not the first one? Shall he not also be the last one? For God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. God shall come from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran. For he is of one mind. And who can turn him? Who could turn back the work of the Lord Jesus Christ when he came into this world? When once he had agreed with the Father to come to the salvation of his own church here below, and who could turn him back? The devil tried to turn it back, but the devil, all his host here below and all his attempts, he could not prevent that Son of Man from the salvation of his church. Or he could not use the disciples of the Lord to prevent that suffering and death. Put up thy sword into its sheath. Or wist ye not that I may not call to my Father, and he will send me 12 legions of angels. But how must the scripture then be fulfilled? An unchangeable God, who can turn it back? In the way of the application, he must needs go through Samaria, because there is a woman there, and that woman needs to be uncovered, and that woman needs that I would reveal myself unto her. And when all the work of the people seems to come into the grave, even as Lazarus came into the grave, then does he leave that alone? No. Then he says, no, I must go, and I must awaken him out of his sleep. All that work thou hast for me begun shall by thy grace be fully done. Let us sing. Psalter 381, stanzas 3 and 4. O Lord, enthroned in glory bright, thou reignest in the heavenly height. The proud in vain thy favor seek, but thou hast mercy for the meek. Through trouble, though my pathway be, thou wilt revive and strengthen me. Thou wilt revive and strengthen me. 3 and 4 of Psalter 381. God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. There was congregation, the consolation of Habakkuk. Was that ever your own consolation? It is the greatest wonder for that true church that the Lord has ever made a beginning, because from our side, oh, we will never make a beginning. Paul speaks of that in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Sometimes, especially when that church is laying for a long time in that captivity, and when there is no voice, that there is a fear that there never was a beginning. But there is now a certain mark by which that true people may be comforted. And what is that mark? We read it here. It says, God came. God came. And if it were up to me, then it had never been. But God came. When I was laying, polluted in my own blood and cast out in the open field. Maybe not even in the way of the world. Maybe in a way of religion, much religion, but still dead in trespasses and in sins. And then what? Oh, then God came. And he stopped me. And he said to me, so far and no further. God came. God came from Teman. And with what? That was with his holy law. And the commandment came. And sin revived. And I died. God came. And he made Egypt a burden to me. Oh, as long as Egypt, the Egypt of this world, never becomes for us a burden, we will never leave it. And we are satisfied, congregation, to dwell in the world with all our religion. May you say that God came. Do you know such a time, such a place as Habakkuk could point God's people back to when they are laying in their captivity? Or was the Egypt of this world ever made to you, congregation, a burden that you could not be friends with the world anymore, but that it was for you a burden that the world that was dwelling in your heart? There are so many people, young people, if the Lord spares you, you are going to hear so much in your life. And there are so many that can speak in with religious words of things that are so high, of Christ, of the work of the Spirit, of being able to say, Abba, Father, of being reconciled with a triune God. But when you will ask such a person about the beginning in their life, then so often, then those people, they have nothing to say. Bunyan warned against this when he spoke about those who came tumbling over the wall and who were not entering onto that narrow way through that straight gate. Do we say that all God's children know of the moment of that beginning? No, but they will know the fruits they will know the fruits of that beginning in their life. They cannot be hid from their own flesh. There is a warfare that will become evident, that will become manifest. That is a life that is more than notion. Something will be seen and felt. It is a reality, and it is something that people can tell you about. Can you also, congregation, can you also, fathers and mothers, when your children, when they will ask you, has there been a beginning? Can you say where the Lord has stopped you in your life? And where the Lord has not allowed you to continue to go in your own way any longer? Is a beginning enough? In a certain way, yes. In a certain way, yes. Why? Because in the beginning is where a man is engrafted into Christ. It is in that new birth that we come out of the state of nature and we are brought into a state of grace. Congregation, from that moment on, then we can die. From that moment on, when the Lord would take us out of this life, then we would enter into that eternal glory. It is in that moment of regeneration that true faith is planted in the soul of God's people. But does it mean that it is well from the side of those people from that moment? Oh, no. Far from it. Because it is in that moment that that people, they become not converted, no. They become unconverted. They have no solution in their own life. But they are now without God in the world, in their own estimation. Then for that people, then a beginning is not enough. No, they need to know something. Oh, then they don't see how that they can be saved. That mediator that is so hidden from the people. There is so much that needs to take place. But all this does not affect their state anymore. Only affects their condition. It does not affect their safety, no. It only affects the comfort that they may receive in their heart. Congregation, was there ever a beginning in your life? That is now the greatest wonder that can ever take place in our life. Do you seek that, young people? Do you seek that in the days of your youth? Reverend Kite, when he was an old man, and he had to be on oxygen in the end, and he had difficulties with breathing, and then he said something. He says, "I am so glad that what had to take place in my life has already taken place." Because he had so many difficulties for the body. And so that is with everyone when they are coming now to the end of their life. I know that there are those who do not like it when we speak about the necessity of a beginning. Congregation, I don't know how many of you have received it, but
There was in this past week some correspondence that was going over the emails to people in our own denomination over this third way and then condemnation against the speaking about the beginning of the way. That we are supposed to do this so different. It is, young people, I hope it is not taken over by you. That man, he speaks out of complete ignorance. And he makes an analogy. Or he had better study the Pilgrim's Progress. Because there we read of an analogy that is according to that holy word of God by a man who knew what grace is. The Lord Jesus, he says, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see that kingdom of God. What then is the fruit of that new birth? Maybe I said that already to you, Reverend Vogelaar, one time. Then he went to visit a widow, an old widow. And her husband had lately passed away. That was a man who feared God. The conversation was often with that man and that woman she laid in the background. But you understand that man now is gone. And now he is speaking to that woman. And he says to that woman, how is it now with you? And the woman, she says, oh no, Domini, she says, I am unconverted. And she said that how we can often say that so easy. But then the minister went out the door, and then she was alone. And then her own words came back. Unconverted. And for her it was used. That is now the fruit of that new birth. And we hope with all our heart, congregation, that we might learn to be unconverted. Then there is hope. And for the people of the Lord, then there can be times when the Lord is so quiet and when it has been so long, and that the Lord can bring them back to that beginning. And there they may say, O Lord, forsake not the work of thine own hands. Amen. O Lord, forgive all our sins. Thou hast helped us through, Lord. Wilt thou use thy word? O comfort thy people. It can be so long. 20 years. Between Bethel and Peniel. 70 years in that a land of Babylon. 40 years in that wilderness. Oh, it is in thy word. It is also the experience of thy church. Oh, Lord, come again. Give a token for good. Open the mouth of thy people. Convert sinners unto thee. Bless thy word. Forgive what was sinful. Bring us safely to our homes and with desire. In thy house of prayer, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 440, stanzas 3 and 4. Shall his wrath my way attending, so I asked in sorrow bending, ever stem his wondrous grace and conceal his kindly face? Then my faith by sorrow chastened, cast out fear,
And doubt and hasten to reply in nobler strain, God will send me joy for pain. 3 and 4 of Psalter number 440. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.